Welcome to Ahead of the Curve, the Scoliosis Experience podcast, where my aim is to empower individuals with scoliosis and movement professionals alike by providing free, up-to-date information on scoliosis management and treatment. My goal is to improve the quality of life for those with scoliosis and equip movement professionals with the knowledge and skills needed to effectively support them. Welcome back to Ahead of the Curve. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Teed. Today, we're going to be talking about the topic of why is scoliosis painful? Before we jump into the topic, I'm just going to give you a little update. I know that I did that last week, but I have a lot to update you about. I have started a new hobby, and I've been kind of teasing it on Instagram right now. If you follow me on Instagram at the Scoliotherapist, I've been like dropping these little clues about what I've started doing, and it is actually jump rope. And this all started from actually one of my followers sending me a message on Instagram, and her username is This Mom Jumps. So I got curious. I'm like, what is that? And she had like a pretty cool picture of her like jumping in the air. And anyway, I clicked on her profile and she has all these amazing videos of her like dance jump roping. And I'm sitting there watching them with this huge grin on my face. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to learn how to do this. And I haven't been this excited about something in a very long time. So it's been really, really fun getting to, you know, just kind of learn a new skill in my own body. I haven't had that since, you know, I don't know, it's been a long time. And it kind of is satisfying that little itch that I have still in me to want to dance, you know, that's in my bones. I love dancing and I don't necessarily want to go and take like a ballet class or something. I would take a dance class for sure. But anyway, if you're interested in following along in my little journey, you can follow me at, now I can't remember what the username is that I created. It's called The Skipping Scolio. And I've just posted a few videos of me getting started with like the equipment that I needed. This Mom Jumps actually helped me with some of that stuff. She pointed me in the right direction. And there's a lot of free resources out there. So I'm not sure how far I'm going to go with this, but you know, I am really, really having a lot of fun right now. And I'm learning some new tricks and beating myself up with the rope quite a bit. But yeah, so if you want to follow me, check that out. And I'll probably be sharing more on Instagram. I haven't shared anything up to this point because today marks 2 weeks that I've been jumping. So pretty fresh. Still don't really know what I'm doing, but yeah. And then my other update is I am heading to California this weekend, or this week, upcoming week, and I'll be doing the in-person portion of a mentorship that I did online with the Movement Rev. It's been very eye-opening for me, and I'm actually going to be discussing quite a bit of what I've learned today. In today's episode. So some of this is going to be a bit different than your usual scoliosis specific thought processes. And I'm having to wrap my head and my mind around some of these ideas because it's very different from what I learned in physical therapy school, which was not very much to, you know, this effect, what I've learned in my scoliosis specific training. So part of being a human is having the ability to change your mind and with new information that you're taking in. So I'm not just holding this one idea of what scoliosis specific work looks like in my mind and then just completely eliminating any other thoughts or ideas. I'm trying to learn as much as I can about the human body and connect the dots so that I can provide the best information and best treatment to my patients, to my clients, and to my own self and to my own spine. So, some of these ideas may like rustle your feathers a little bit. If you're holding on to these strong beliefs, about what treatment needs to look like, but I think it makes a lot of sense and I'll be curious to hear your feedback. So I know that a lot of you have had this experience of going to the doctor and telling the doctor that you're having pain in your back or somewhere in your body, and then asking them if it could possibly be related to your scoliosis and getting the answer, no, a hard no. It's not even a moment to consider, a moment to think about it. It's just a straight up no. It's not coming from your scoliosis. But, you know, this is like very counterintuitive. If you just look at an x-ray of somebody's spine with scoliosis, it is very obvious that scoliosis can create pain. And I'm just going to break down the three reasons. There's many reasons why scoliosis can create pain, but I'm going to hit the three main ones and let's get into it. So I know it's like totally baffling when you get that response from a doctor, and I have encountered so many people who have had these frustrating conversations, but it's important to get to the root of why you're having this pain, and instead of masking it with a medication or going and getting an injection, so that you can do the things that you love in your life. And most of us, when we think of our scoliosis, we zero in on the spinal column, but we miss all the surrounding structures like the viscera or your organs. And the organs are like any other joint in our body. They need to be able to be free to glide and slide over top of each other like any other joint. And if there is a restriction in their ability to glide and slide over top of each other, it can refer pain somewhere else in your body. So it's like a connection between your organ and your nervous system. So now I want you to visualize your curvy spine and where your curve might be impeding your organ's ability to glide and slide over other organs. I'm going to share a quote from Jean-Pierre Barral from his book called Understanding the Messages of Your Joints, and it might explain a little bit of this idea a bit better. The cervical column can be compared to a weather vane. The weather vane itself never moves. It's the wind that activates it. The cervical vertebrae adapt themselves to any change in the body position. They compensate for all the joints' problems in order to preserve our horizontal gaze, so being able to keep our gaze level. This is why a practitioner of manual medicine never touches the cervical vertebrae, as a first line of treatment. Instead, the initial focus is on the correction of the lower limbs, the thoracic and lumbar spines, and the pelvis. They check to see that the cervical problem is not secondary to an organ problem. Most likely it would be the liver or the lungs, which are both linked to these vertebrae through the nervous system. So along those same lines, I'm just going to share a few of the general visceral referrals, meaning the organs, that are referring pain to different parts of the back. So pain in the lumbar spine or the lower back could be coming from the uterus, the prostate, kidneys, or intestines. Pain in the thoracic spine or the middle back could be coming from the heart, lungs, esophagus, and pain in the cervical spine or the neck could be coming from the thyroid, the esophagus, heart, pleura, lungs, brain, eyes, or nose. This doesn't necessarily mean that there's something wrong with this particular organ. I mean, it could mean that, but it means that that organ, at the very least, isn't moving the way that it should, isn't gliding and sliding. There's a restriction there. So I have a client that's a really good example of this referral. They suffer from esophagus pain because they have really bad acid reflux. And he also has neck and mid-back pain that he can reproduce if he just places his hand over his esophagus and just like presses just a little bit or tries to gently move it side to side. It actually reproduces the pain into the area of his shoulder and mid-back, or his neck and his mid-back, where he frequently experiences the pain. So that's a really good example of how your viscera can refer pain other parts in the body. And through the mentorship that I'm doing with Movement Rev, we're taught how to do these locator tests to figure out where the body is telling us that it needs attention and treatment. So you're not just chasing the pain all around the body. You're not just going to the neck because you're having neck pain. We're looking at why are you having the neck pain that you're having. All right. So the second reason scoliosis can be painful is because of nerve entrapment. A.T. Still said every nerve must be free to act and do its part. So let's return to that visual of the x-ray of our curvy spine and think about all the areas of the vertebrae that are a bit closer together. And now visualize the surrounding tissues and muscles and ligaments and fascia that are around those areas that are a bit closer together. Next, I want you to think about your rib cage and how you have some areas of your rib cage that are ribs that are more smushed together, and then others that are further apart. And these are all areas where a nerve could possibly get entrapped. And if a nerve isn't able to slide and glide the way that it's created to do, the surrounding muscles will actually tighten up to protect that nerve. The brain and the body will actually allow the muscles to strain or tear before it would allow a nerve to strain or tear. And that's because nerves are very, very sensitive. Nerves hate to be stretched and compressed. And what do we normally do when we have a trigger point? Think about it. We normally beat the heck out of it with like a foam roller, do some deep tissue massage, or use a Theragun to it. And I know you're thinking to yourself, well, I do that because I feel better afterwards and Of course you do, because you've beat the heck out of the cutaneous nerve, so like the more superficial nerve, and they stop sending a pain signal to your brain. So that's why you feel better momentarily. But I bet that that trigger point keeps coming back. So you didn't actually address the issue of the nerve being able to glide and slide freely, and that's why that pain keeps coming back. And you may have actually created more of an issue with that nerve, unfortunately. So instead, I'd like to encourage you to try something a little bit different the next time that you have a trigger point. And instead of digging in and pressing on that area, actually go to the area where you have the trigger point and gently lift the skin away from it. So, like, very gently pinch, but like hold on to it and lift the skin away from that area. And then move the skin north, south, east, and west. So, you're not grabbing onto the muscle, you're grabbing onto the skin that lays over top of that muscle that you're having an effect on that cutaneous nerve. And when you go all those different directions, you're actually freeing up that nerve's ability to glide and slide the way that it's intended to. And you'll have a lot more success in relieving your pain long term versus continuously doing deep tissue trigger point release. Another thing to think about, and I know that, me talking about picturing the x-ray and all the places that the nerves could be entrapped can probably feel pretty frustrating because you're like, well, what the heck am I supposed to do about it? And part of the amazing thing that we do with the scoliosis specific treatment is we do all sorts of exercises and interventions that help to open up all of the compressive spaces. So we do that spinal elongation, holding off of the pull-up bar, or like in all sorts of different forms, we do that spinal elongation. We do the derotational breathing or the very expansive breathing to help open up the little spaces in between your rib cage or in between your ribs that are more compressed. And then we help you create the strength and the tensegrity to maintain that elongated open position so that you're not continuously reverting back into that compressed state that creates the nerve irritation to begin with. So that's something that scoliosis-specific work does very, very, very well. The final point that I'm going to talk about is the fact that you might just be moving from one or a couple segments of your spine instead of moving through the entirety of the spinal column. So our spine is like dominoes. If you have your dominoes all stacked up and you just remove a few of the dominoes from the middle, the rest are still going to be standing. You need the whole set to move from beginning to end in order to work efficiently. And it's the same idea with the spine. So for the spine to be the most efficient at what it's created to do, we need to be able to maximize movement at all of its levels. And this is something that makes so much sense to me, and I feel like I feel this in my own body, but it is a little bit contradictory to some of the things that I've learned with the scoliosis-specific exercise. So with the scoliosis-specific work, the focus is more on stabilizing and moving everything as a unit so that you're not straining those torsional areas or the torsioned segments of the spine. And you're distributing the force throughout the spine because you're not actually like allowing it to move segmentally. So, it works in a way. However, we also create a fear of movement in the midst of doing that. And then how are you supposed to be able to like sit down on the toilet, or if you don't have the hamstring flexibility or the knee comfort to pick something up from the floor without squatting down, how are you supposed to be able to do that? We need to be able to train all of our segments to be able to distribute the force equally throughout the spine. And something that happens with scoliosis in particular, when you, ouch, excuse me, just smacked my knee. When you consider the curve, so usually there's a couple curves in the spine. So you have your primary curve and maybe a secondary curve. And those areas tend to be pretty stiff. And then you have this area, these segments in between those two curves, which are called your transition zone. So those are the segments that run in between the two curves, and they are usually really, really mobile. So they're actually hypermobile. And when you have a hypermobile segment that all of the movement is coming from, that area is more likely to experience a disc herniation or a facet joint arthritis pain. And the scoliosis specific work works because we're taught to just move everything all together as a unit. However, I think that we need to kind of explore that idea a bit differently so that we are able to move more freely in all ranges of motion instead of walking around like a robot or like we're all fused. Because, and if you are fused and you have some segments that are free, you want to really explore that movement so that you're moving through as many segments as you do have unfused as possible in order to distribute that force more equally between those segments. Because it could still be the case that only like one segment is doing all the movement when you could train your spinal column to articulate a lot better and free up some of that pain that you might be experiencing. So, as I said, this is still something that is like a newer idea for me to explore my own body, which I will be doing before I'm implementing that more with my clients. But I already teach my clients how to optimize weight shifting throughout the day in order to distribute that force more equally throughout the spine. So, for instance, instead of just blocking any weight shifting from happening when you're reaching forward for the floor, allowing the hips to shift backwards so that you can distribute that force more equally throughout the spine. And then same thing if you're rotating to look behind you, instead of focusing on keeping the weight super even under both sitting bones, allowing the weight to shift onto the hip that is the side that you're rotating towards. So there's ways that you can optimize that weight shift in addition to your scoli correctives in order to distribute that force throughout the spine and make movement much, much more comfortable. So in summary, I only talked about 3 points, but I think it's pretty clear through those 3 points that scoliosis does indeed create pain experiences for people, and there's lots that we can do about it. It's not a hopeless situation. So, taking a look at the viscera or the organs, taking a look at the nerves' ability to glide and slide and move freely, and then finally, learning how to articulate the spine so that we are moving and distributing the force equally all throughout the spine instead of having just a couple segments doing all of the heavy lifting. Thanks for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Small group coaching is a really great way to address your scoliosis and learn more about how to adapt some of these principles to your own body. If you're interested in discussing whether or not it's a good fit for you to join the Scoliosis Strength Collective, click the link in the show notes below and schedule a discovery call, and we can have a conversation to see if it's a good fit for you. Until next time, stay well and stay ahead of the curve.